Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Well, this morning, we're excited to have our Facebook audience with us, and I can't wait until they get to hear the worship, too. So if you're listening on Facebook, that's coming. We have tremendous worship, and if you've not been here before, you don't know that, we invite you to be a part of that. You can come in person. Being here in person, well, it is a little better. I have to tell you that. But if you're out there listening, you'll get most of what's coming to you this morning, but if you come in here, you get a little bit more. Isn't that true? All right. Well, this morning we're honoring the Heavenly Father. And we're going to spend a season revealing who the Heavenly Father is because we're meant to be like Him. Jesus said if we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Heavenly Father. So if you're coming out on Wednesday nights, we've been teaching on the character of the Lord Jesus. This will be week 17. Lesson 17, and I don't know that I've ever taken more time to study or look at any one thing before than the character of Jesus. Why would we do that? Because we're supposed to be like Him in this world, and if we don't look at what He's like, we won't know how to be. We'll get confused and we'll be all mixed up. One thing that I want to make sure doesn't happen in our church is that we're confused and all mixed up about who Jesus is. Now, we study Jesus, and in the studying of Jesus' character, we see glimpses into who the Heavenly Father is. But if you want to study who the Heavenly Father is, you study a couple things in particular, His love and His mercy. You'll find that the Heavenly Father is most described in the Scriptures as love and mercy. The word mercy and compassion are the same throughout the Bible, typically the same root word. So think of God as love and compassion and mercy. I think of the mercy of God and I get excited about that because it says He wants to do something for me that I don't know about yet. He wants to do something for me that I could never earn or never deserve. Well, we know that's who Jesus is. He's the person who came to do that. He's the person that came to take care of all of our problems on the cross so that we could believe on Him to receive answers in our life, to receive miracles in our life. This morning, I'm going to begin to share with you more about the mercy of God. We introduced that last week as the Father of mercies, and that comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Our God is the Father of mercies, plural, mercies, and the God of all comfort. We looked to the Psalms last week to see what are some of those mercies, and another word would be benefits that we would use today. Benefits and mercies are something that are related, if not the same thing, in the Bible. When we look at God's mercy, it's a benefit that we have in relationship with Him. Now, sadly, every person alive could benefit from God's mercy. But when we don't know that's who He is and what He does, we don't have faith to receive the benefit. When we hear, we get stirred up to receive it. It doesn't mean it's not true all the time or that God's mercy isn't extended toward everybody. It'll shock you that the Scriptures say God's mercy is for every person, not just those who come to Jesus and have a come to Jesus moment in salvation. His mercy is for everybody. I marvel at people in this generation, some of them a little older than me, they're still ministering. Marilyn Hickey being one that if you've never heard of Marilyn Hickey, she's a little redheaded Spitfire woman in her 80s. She still travels all over the world ministering, and she goes into countries where you're not supposed to go and minister. She does that quite frequently, and she loves to go to Pakistan, and Pakistan is one of the predominantly Muslim nations, and she goes there to present Jesus as healer. And the Muslims come out by the thousands because they believe that Jesus was a good man, He did exist, and He was a prophet. And you know what? Jesus doesn't care if they limit what they know about Him, but why He does that, why He doesn't care, is the Father God is mercy toward every person. So Marilyn goes in and ministers the goodness of God and the benefits of God and ministers healing before they're even saved. And you know what? God honors that and He heals them. left and right. Miracle services. Now, for us to get our mind around that, sometimes we think, well, I've got to receive Jesus as Savior first. No, His mercies are His mercies. Similarly, a mercy of God is that He wants to prosper us. Well, I've known many people who didn't know Jesus at all. They were the epitome of not Jesus. But they believed in giving. They believed in helping people. We would call them maybe great humanitarians today because they want to help people. Do you know they tapped into one of the mercies of God and He will prosper them because they're doing right with their money? And they may not even be saved yet. Now, if somebody preaches right to them, they might kind of realize, oh, that's God blessing me. And if He's going to give me money because I'm faithful with my money, maybe then He can heal me because I believe that He's the healer. Maybe I believe that He can save me so I don't go to hell. See, most of the time church folks come in because the first mercy of God they've experienced is salvation. That He forgives sins. And I would say if you're here today, you probably believe that. If you don't, you're about to. Why? That's one of the big messages of the Bible is that He saves us from an eternity in hell. Now, I'm here to make you think for a minute. If you can believe that, a God that you haven't seen, a Jesus that came 2,000 years ago, that died on the cross and rose from the dead, just like the Bible says, if you can believe that He can save you from hell, whether you've been ornery or not, if you believe that He can, why can't we believe that He would heal us too? Why is that so hard? Because we somehow think that the only benefit that Jesus gave us that we don't deserve is to not go to hell. But we didn't deserve any of the benefits. He just wanted to give them because it's who He is. It's what He does. Now, we've got to maybe adjust our thinking a little bit to understand the Heavenly Father. I've heard different ones preach through the years, well, to understand Heavenly Father, you've got to look to earthly fathers. And I tried that and it didn't work. There's no earthly father that lines up with the Heavenly Father. Now, we may each as earthly fathers have a little bit of that. We might do a little bit of Heavenly Father. I mean, I've got some mercy on my own. But there's moments where... no mercy. Why? I'm not God. Thank God for that. Thank God we can't look to ourselves to understand God. We can't look to one another. We need to look to Jesus to understand who God is. And He gave it all on the cross and didn't have to because He loved us so much. I can trust Him. See? Now, this is Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. That's kind of a summary of what we'll be talking about, and maybe for some time. I used to, when I was young, travel on the road and teach, and the two things that most pastors wanted me to bring to their church in those days was the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the message of divine healing. See, I went to school and studied that for a number of years, as have others in our church. And I'd go out and minister healing, and I knew by the people that had trained me, you never go out there and just preach once on divine healing. People can't understand. It takes them a little while to believe it. Why? We somehow think that if we've been foolish with our body, God won't have mercy. He doesn't have mercy because we deserve it. He has mercy because we believe it. So sometimes we'd minister 3 or 4 days or nights, usually night services, before we would ever pray for the sick. Why? We have to hear and hear and hear to believe. Some of you are going to be like I have been. I had to hear certain things a lot of times to believe it. Because I mostly grew up thinking that the Heavenly Father was the disciplinarian of heaven. And He was more involved in my life when I did something wrong than when I did something right. And I had to somehow earn the right to be blessed or helped. Now, it's true we want to believe God's word and do what it says. But receiving from God has to do with hearing and hearing and hearing until you are saturated enough with that thinking to believe it. You may not get saturated enough today. Why? I sat in healing school, prayer and healing school, for 2 years every day. They were usually 3 to 4 hour long sessions. and we'd pray and hear about the healing ministry of the Lord, and we would pray some more, and we'd worship, and those services went long. And I learned that the folks bringing the service, Dr. Hagin in particular, would never minister to the sick. He'd never lay hands or pray for anybody till Thursday or Friday. Always on Friday, once in a while on Thursday. So one day there was just a few of us there. There was an ice storm in Tulsa, and I don't know if there were 6 students and maybe 50 or 60 people from the public. And he did something very unusual. He said, "You can ask questions today." Well, I was excited to hear that. I wrote down 3 or 4 so I'd sound intelligent when I asked them, instead of just letting it roll off of my tongue. But I remember saying, "Why do you only pray for the sick on Fridays and once in a while on Thursdays?" He said, "Because the people haven't heard enough word to receive from God what I'm saying." See, God speaks into our life His authority through words. But He releases anointing through touch. If some of you don't know why we lay hands on the sick, it's because the Bible in James commands us to as elders of the church. It's also that God ministers through touch. Why? He wants to touch our lives, but He first wants to have the authority to touch it with power. So when we hear God's word, when we believe it, we're saying, "I'm inviting your power into my life to make a difference. I'm inviting your love into my life to make a difference." God's power is His love. So it makes sense that He would want to have contact with us to do that. Now, like I said, it may take a little while. I don't know that we can do this on a Sunday here and there when people are, people come sometimes hit and miss. If you need healing in your life, you need to look to Jesus as the healer and do what I did for 2 years. I sat at His feet. Now, what I didn't know, I had prayer for different things while I was there, but what I didn't know is several chronic conditions would be healed while I sat at Jesus' feet. Now, was Jesus in the meetings? He was teaching through the people who were presenting. As we worshiped the Lord and prayed, I noticed that an asthmatic condition that I had since a very young child completely, totally disappeared. Now, I can't trace that to any one time somebody prayed for me, but I can absolutely connect it to I sat in prayer and healing school, and faith was stirred in me to receive from God, and I received it. For me, in my life, that was a miracle. It was a chronic condition. There were a number of things like that I may share over time that happened sitting and studying that way. Now, today, most of the time, people think it's just easier to go to the doctor and get a prescription to deal with asthma than it is to sit at Jesus' feet. Well, I was on 3 different kinds of inhalants at that time, and a prednisone shot and prednisone pills. If I had kept that up, I'd probably be broke today and crippled as a result. Why, the side effects of all of that are crippling, and you lose your teeth and your bones get brittle and you shrivel up. Well, I have none of the above, thank God. Why? Healing came early enough by the time I was 20, 21, completely, totally gone. I have a little drawer in my house that I keep mementos of things that God has done for me on the top of one of the big dressers. I opened it the other day looking for something, and the passport's in there, and different things are in there from different missions trips and things. I opened it up, and there was the last breather, I called it, inhaler that I ever had. There it was, still full, unused. And I said, "Thank you, Jesus. I have never and I will never need this again." And I picked it up and I held it up and I thanked Him for His healing power. Now, there are those today that say, "Well, that's not for today." Oh, you go tell Jesus that. He knew it was for today. Why, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's in your Bible, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Well, now we'll introduce Psalms. I just had to get that in there. Well, I like giving Him glory for things. Well, I'm thankful I can breathe good. I'm thankful I can exercise. I'm thankful for so many things associated with that. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy." That's a great description of our Heavenly Father. "The Lord is good to all." I want you to see that. He didn't say only those who love Him and are saved. You see that? The Lord is good to all. So when Marilyn goes to Pakistan, Jesus is good to all. When Pastor comes to church, Jesus is good to all. Why? He wants to be. It's who He is. Now, "And His tender mercies are over all," there's that word "all" again, "all His works." Everybody's included. and his tender mercies are over all. Well, that's an unusual passage, an unusual phrase. Gracious there means he's disposed to show favors. He would like to make you his favorite in the moment you want something. I like that. I didn't mind pretending, or thinking at least, that I was always the grandparents' favorite. Why? I learned what favorite grandchildren do. They love on grandpa and grandma. They want to be with them. They like to go to their house. They like to help them out. They like to wipe down the table and vacuum the floor. They like to do things without being asked. Why, if it makes mama happy, it'll make grandmama happy. See, we learn how to interact with our Heavenly Father by knowing what He is and how He does things. He's disposed, or we would say it this way, He's already made up His mind to make you His favorite. You'll want to believe that. You're going to need to believe that. There's going to be a moment you think, oh, I remember Pastor said I can be God's favorite. Now, secondly, He's full of compassion. It means that He's yearning. He's yearning to be merciful. He is just looking for you to want His mercy. So why doesn't He just pour it out on me then if He's yearning? Because the only way He has authority to give it to you is for you to ask Him. Because Satan, the god of this world, has things stopped unless you break that barrier. You break the barrier of Satan's resistance by saying, Jesus, I believe in You. Jesus, I receive what You say is true. Thank You for bringing it to me. And He will do it. Why? You just gave Him permission to deliver you something that can't come another way. Yearning to be merciful. 30, he used the phrase tender mercies. It means God concerning you has a womb of compassion. In other words, He sees you surrounded by a womb of compassion. He sees you in the place of development and protection and nurturing, where nothing can touch you and nothing can get to you. And remember, this is God's place of protection, not man's. And when you come out of there, you're going to be all right. He has an experience for you that requires a nurturing. He has a gestation period for you to receive what it is He can do for you. That's why we want to hear and hear and hear. Because hearing God's Word puts us in the womb of His compassion, where He can make it happen in us. And then when we step out into everyday life, we are suddenly transformed more into His image. You can't spend time in God's womb of compassion without coming out more like Him. That's what happens there. Now, this is Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee, who, number one, pardons iniquity or forgives sin, and who, number two, delights in mercy? Now, I want you to think about this, because I drew a line to it earlier, because I tend to jump ahead of myself and then come back and then start. If you haven't noticed, I'll say, now we're done with the introduction, we're going to go back and start. And anyway, He's the God who forgives sin. I would say most everybody here believes that. That causes us to call ourselves a Christian. But the word Christian means anointed one. Or you could say little Christ, or newfound Christ, beginning with Christ, Christian. Well, if we can believe that He is the God that forgives sin, think about that. We don't have any earthly entity that can forgive sin. There's no doctor sin forgiver. It'd be a great invention. People would go there. People pay a lot of money for that. But there's no such thing. Why? Jesus is the only one that could do that. Now, if man could produce it, they would, and probably some religions kind of do, because if you pay enough, then you're off the hook. Some teach that. Or if you do enough good things to pay for your bad things, you get out of purgatory or hell or whatever. So that doctrine's kind of out there. But if we believe that God is that good to do that, not because we deserve it. Why can't we believe that he would also heal us when he says right here that's who he is and what he would do? Yet we kind of get trained otherwise because we think, well, he wants me to be healthy and I've been foolish. Welcome to humanity. We're eating something today that in 5 years they'll tell us was foolish to eat and we didn't know better. Going to let that take you out? I'm not. Because we're in a fallen world with problems in it, but we have a risen Savior who takes the problems out of our life. That's his mercy. Now, Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. I remember sitting there in prayer and healing school thinking, man, all they do here is teach on prayer and healing. Little did I know how long it would take for me to get that believing in my heart. I remember doing what most did. I mean, when I went October 3rd, 1979, was the first day I was there, or October 4th, it started October 3rd. I missed one day in the history of the school. I remember going, I had my spiral notebook. We didn't have all the modern stuff. It didn't exist yet, at least not to normal people. Carried spiral notebooks and ink pens and a tool leather briefcase to school. And I'd open that briefcase up, and like everybody else in prayer and healing school, I opened a special notebook just for that. And I would write down the verse. I started looking after about 7 or 8 weeks. And then he just keeps using those same verses over and over again, over and over again. And I remember thinking, I wonder how long I need to go here before I understand this. Then about 10 weeks later in, I figured out I need to come here every day that I possibly can, or I will never likely understand this. Why? It didn't compute in my mind. I somehow thought God's blessings were tied to my performance. I didn't even know what that was. I somehow thought if I did enough right things, or even learned enough Bible verses, or even prayed enough for other people, did enough benevolence, did enough good things, I somehow thought if I did enough, it might add up to somehow get God's attention to do something good for me. And when I saw that healing and the blessings of God was all written in past tense, wait a minute, he did it before I knew about it. That's a hard concept to grasp as an American. Why? We think we work and earn and spend or save and we get the results. And spiritual things, Jesus worked, paid the price so we could have it without earning it. We just have to believe on him. Amen. That just doesn't. To the regular mind, it just doesn't work that way. That can't be that easy and that good. Remember, that's who our Heavenly Father is. He so badly wanted to fix what went wrong in the earth that he took care of the problem, and we just have to choose to believe on Jesus. Remember, it has everything to do with Jesus. Who is a God like unto thee who pardons iniquity and who delights in mercy? Well, that would describe the person of Jesus. That's who Micah's talking about here. He's saying there's going to be one that comes to do that. Jesus' greatest works were to forgive our sins and heal us of our diseases. Now today we sometimes lose track of or lose touch with what the Bible says is a disease. Does it take away your ease? It's a disease. Did you know that? How do we think of Jesus healing diseases and think he wants anything to be hard on us when the word disease is taking away ease and he wants to give us ease back? I had a while back something on my arm a year or so ago. It was bothering me. It looked kind of bad. And I thought to myself, I like to be outside a lot. I grew up in the sun, baking like a raisin in the sun in central Illinois out on the tractors with open. And we did that all the time. And you weren't much of a man if you weren't bronzed by the sun and a working man. Okay, that's the 70s idea. Anyway, those of you old enough should remember that and relate. Nobody nodded or said that was right. So I was expecting some nods from my farmer guys. Anyway, this thing came out on my arm, and I looked at it and I prayed over it a little bit, and I thought to myself, I was in the sun an awful lot. I still like to be in the sun a lot. I remember thinking the cautions. I remember thinking different people my age going in and having their skin worked on. And I remember visiting the dermatologist a few years before, because I believe in doctors. I believe in going, but I believe in Jesus more than the doctors, and I believe Jesus can help my doctors. And I remember him saying, we need to keep a good eye on you. Where did you grow up? On the California coast? I said, why? He said, you've got sunspots everywhere on your back. I said, no, I grew up on top of a tractor in the open sun. Oh, anyway. I went in there and they said, we want to do a biopsy. This looks suspicious. I have this other thing that goes on with me called folliculitis. It means you're very hairy and your hairs get infected, your hair follicles. It's part of my heritage. Okay. All it was an infected hair, but you know, the answer to medical science was, we need to take a piece out of you. I learned something. One piece is enough pieces. And I was expecting to see, it won't hurt, it won't be much, and they gave me the shot, and of course I'm watching, stupid, watching. They cut a hunk out, a plug out. Pulled it out. Blood went everywhere, and my head went back. I didn't pass out, but I laid down fast. Why? It is not natural. God did not plan it for me or you or anybody to have pieces carved away. So I want to encourage you. You may not know today that you need the healing ministry of Jesus in your life, but I promise you, the day's coming someday. You'll need it and want it and be glad you heard it. And I hope that you hang on to it, because I do not want you to have to experience even that little. That's just a little thing. I mean, I know that's not really, you can't even call it a surgery. It's close enough. Jesus didn't design us to have to go through that to get what he's promised us already. And it ended up being an infected hair. That's all it was. Next time, I'm not going to be so silly. All right. We may need to change our thinking about the Lord. We may need to reprogram our thinking to understand who God is instead of who somebody told us he was. My thinking before getting a hold of who the Heavenly Father was, if thinking that he was a harsh disciplinarian, came from what people told me that they thought about the Lord. And as I think about it, they meant well, but they didn't know very much Bible. And the parts they knew came from the Old Testament before Jesus came to redeem me from the curse. And I was convinced that if I didn't do right, the fly swatter from heaven would come down and get me eventually. And I should pray that it would be quick. That would be the mercy of God. So my picture of the mercy of God was, if he's going to take you out, let him do it quickly with no pain. That's not the mercy of God. That's a wrong depiction. That's a human being trying to rationalize when bad things happen to good people. Our primary enemy is not the devil, but what causes the devil to take advantage? Our lack of knowledge, Scripture says. When we don't know about God, the devil can lie to us about God. And we go thinking wrong things. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't like it when somebody projects an image of me that's not true. And I don't like it so much that I will get in their face and correct it. Why? You can't be in the people business and carry a lie about your reputation forward. We can't be in the Jesus business and carry a lie about Father's reputation forward. We're going to undo it and learn, who is he? What does the Bible say about who he is? In this church, we look there to find out what's really true. And it's that truth that has set us free. I keep getting more set free by this truth. Now, this is Matthew chapter 13. This is Jesus teaching with his disciples close at hand. And he's helping them understand how to change their thinking, how to get a hold of the goodness of God. He's teaching them, and this is in the parable of the sower, which people focus a lot on the parable of the sower and think this has to do with money. No, this has to do with everything that we receive from God, so much so that Jesus said to the disciples, if you boys understand this parable, you'll understand all the other parables. Because it's how God does things. It's how he gets into our life. It's how he changes things up. If you're praying and praying and praying, that's wonderful. But we've got to turn around and do some hearing of what God says about the things we're praying about. Most of the time, our answered prayer can be found in the Bible. Most of the time, we can look there and go, oh, he already said that about what I'm praying about. And it puts us on the right path, close to our answer, if not right on top of it. Matthew 13, verse 18, at any time that anyone should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, I should heal them. This is Jesus talking about a process of hearing the scripture, hearing the truth, hearing about the goodness of God, hearing about the promises of God. And we can hear, he's saying, we can hear with our eyes by seeing with our eyes. If you see somebody healed, I remember in prayer and healing school, I was 19 in October. I remember sitting there and seeing people be healed before my eyes. That was pretty cool. That caused me to believe that at least what that man had was real. And then I found out what that man had was only because of what he said, because of what God said. But I remember seeing cancers come out of a person and drop on the floor and wiggle. Now, you talk about getting somebody's attention. I always sat in the same seat on the second row on the aisle. And I didn't run to the back. I ran to look. Really? And look at, is there a hole in that woman? There was no hole. Yet the cancer was gone. Moments before, she was on a stretcher in the back of the auditorium because the ambulance brought her because there was no hope. Now, some would say, I'll believe it when I see it. I would tell you, believe it so you can see it. Because we'd sat all week in school, that lady'd been there, brought by the ambulance every day at the back of the class. That was a Thursday and not a Friday. One of the exceptions, because he said, if you're here and near death, I'll pray for you now. They were older right up there. At any time. Never too late. It looked like too late for that lady. It wasn't too late. Never too late. At any time, anyone should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Now, I was hearing with my ears for weeks, but I saw it with my eyes. Convinced me. And you don't have to wait. He said, at any time. Now. And should understand with their heart. Heart understanding comes when we hear and see it and we get it. Hard understanding comes. You can hear it today and chunk it off, say, I don't need that today. You'll need it eventually. I'm old enough now to know that I'm going to need some things. Remember when I was young thinking, well, that's great when you're an old person. Well, I'm close enough to know now it's great. All right. Now, should understand with their heart and should be converted. What does that mean? It means I might need to repent. I might need to change my mind. What it literally means is I'm going to turn about and change my mind. See, if we think about God being good, we've got to change our mind. We've got to get a hold of that. We can't get a hold of it by thinking, I choose to believe what pastor is saying is true. That's a start. But you want to look for yourself. What does it say? I like finding it in my Bible. Now, and I should heal them. Notice he said should 4 times. I believe he's telling us what we should do. And then if we do what we should do, he can do what he should do. Well, he's already made up his mind. He should do it. I want you to see it. He's already made up his mind. He's already decided. I believe that in this series, God's already decided. I believe there's things that he wants to do for you. I remember early on in ministry here praying for a number of folks who wanted to have children. By golly, they had children. Why? They decided that God wanted that for them, and their faith was stirred. I believe there are a number of folks here. You're on medication you want to get off of, and you know you want to get off of it. He's going to help you get off of it. What's going to happen? You're going to go to the doctor, and he's going to tell you you don't need it anymore. Don't get off of it and then go to the doctor. Go to the doctor and have him tell you. Why? You want to give the doctor the testimony. Well, I just decided to believe God, and the Word says, and you ought to be able to quote 25 scriptures to him by the time that happens to you. Why? I'm not going to tell you do something silly or foolish. You get all the help you can get and keep getting it, but I would believe God to get the help nobody else can give you. See, there's some things the doctors can't fix. They try. In some cases, they make you more miserable. They're trying to fix you. Why? They can't do everything God can do. They can do a few things a different kind of way than God does it. He likes to do it with no cuts or incisions needed. Now, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, Jesus is saying, this is the way the kingdom of God works. You might want to work it another way. You might want to think if I grovel and crawl on the ground and cry out to God, that will work. It's not going to work. He's not impressed by that. He said it should work this way. He's telling us how it will work. And this is Jesus talking. Now, if Jesus is talking, he's saying this is the way Father God does stuff. Why? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then comes the wicked one to steal away what was sown in his heart. If you're not careful, you'll hear this today and the enemy will steal it from your heart. But if you're careful, you'll protect this word and say, I'm going to plant more seed like this in my garden because pastors warned me someday I'm going to want a harvest of healing in my life. So I'm going to get it growing up now. See, there's no need to go through life without having what we need. He wants us to have it. But he that received this seed into good ground is he that hears the word. Now, what's he mostly talking about here? He told us what he's talking about. He's not talking first about sowing and reaping finances. He's talking about healing. He flat said it. Jesus said, they should, and I should heal them. That's what he said. Now, this is Jesus. This is the one who can deliver what he promised because he paid the price on the cross to do it. And he's telling us in advance, he should. Well, why then doesn't he? Because usually we don't do what we should first. Now, sometimes we have to turn away from something. Now, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it. What does that mean? We get it down in our heart. I went to school 2 years to get the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus down in my heart, and I wanted it down in my heart enough that I could go out on the road and preach and teach it, and God would do in those meetings like he did in Dr. Hagin's meetings. And you know, he did a lot of cool stuff in those meetings. I never saw yet a tumor come out of a person and land on the floor, but I will one day. Why? I believe it. I saw it with my eyes. I understand that it's Jesus doing the work. It isn't me. And it's to give Heavenly Father glory. Everything Jesus does, he wants the Heavenly Father. He wants to show who Heavenly Father is. Heavenly Father is a good God. He doesn't want there to be an incision made either. He'd rather just bring it out an easy way and sort of surprise everybody. It sure did in that room. People jumped back and looked, couldn't believe it. Now, he hears the word and he understands it, who bears fruit. In other words, I have proof in my life. I want you to encourage, work this believing so you've got some proof in your life. Ask Jesus to manifest healing in you somewhere. Why? It's a mercy of the Heavenly Father. And if you're saved, you did the hardest one first. I'm just going to tell you the truth. If you can believe that asking Jesus into your heart saved you from eternal hell, if you can believe that, not having seen heaven, not having seen hell, not having seen Jesus, if you can believe that, you can certainly believe that he's merciful to heal you. Can't you? See, it's a matter of us going, yeah, that was the harder part. Now, he brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, again, I've heard that preached finances and many times, and it's a true principle there, but it's a governing principle of healing. That's what Jesus is talking about. If you hear a little bit and you get a little bit of faith, you might get a 30-fold. You might get better. I've had some things in my life healed gradually, but it took me a while. It took me a while to first get my own stupidity out of the way and not say, well, this is just going to be this way the rest of my life because I was stupid. Well, we end up being a mess if we believe all that. See, we take more and more medications and more appliances hooked to our body to get us around all those things. Or we can choose to say, you know, I'm going to trust in the goodness of God. Now, 30-fold might be that I experienced this with my back, okay? When my back was messed up and three vertebrae were crushed and the cartilage crushed, the doctor said, you'll never be athletic, you'll never be able to do this, you'll never be able, he had a list of nevers. You will never be able to, we need to go in and laminate your back, we need to go in and remove those three vertebrae and put something else in there and put rods in there and do all this. And I said, stop. So I'm not ready for that. I was 38 years old. So I'm not ready for all that. I can't do that. I can't do my work and do that. And well, what are you going to do then? I said, I'm going to go home. Yeah. And he didn't understand what I was going to do. I'm going to go home and pray and seek the Lord's face. What do I do? I don't want to be debilitated. I don't want to. Now, could I have gone that way and still trusted God later? Yes. But I remember laying on the couch flat on my back. I could not get up. I couldn't get off the couch. I couldn't get down in the floor. I couldn't do anything. Lucinda was doing everything for me and our two little children. I remember doing my work off a laptop computer on my lap and sending a lot of email, making a lot of phone calls. But I remember the bulk of my time being talking to the Lord about how I could get past this. I don't know if you've ever had a crisis for a young man with two little kids, and we had just bought a farm out in the country. I had just been promoted to a whole lot of responsibility. It was a crisis. I was having visions like losing everything, visions of sending my wife back to work, where she was mostly working at home, homeschooling our kids and take care of the household, taking care of me. I was traveling all the time, working a lot of hours. I was seeing visions of everything that could go wrong, yet I knew God had a vision for something to go right, and I was trying to process in my mind, how do I get a hold of what's right? And I found myself having to meditate back on Him and who He is, and opening up my Bible and look for who He is, and reading the healing scriptures and convincing myself, though I had been foolish and I had been overweight and I had been overworked and I had been running through the airport, Stapleton Airport in Denver, with too many suitcases, dragging my seasonal clothes from Vermont to go back home to Tennessee in the transition season. I'd done everything wrong and stupid you possibly could do in a year's time, all right? I got myself radically out of shape. All of those things had happened. I was running through the airport and totally, completely blacked out, fell out. They didn't know what was wrong with me. They came with a stretcher to pick me up and scoop me away. I said, something's wrong with my back. I couldn't feel my legs. Now, 30-fold came fairly quickly. Within 6 weeks, I was up on a walker. The doctor said, I'm amazed you can do that so far. I remember. I said, well, doc, I'm going to get better and better and better. And I said, you told me I would never be a lot of things, and I'm going to be all of those before I'm done. He said, well, I'll believe it when I see it. He's telling the right boy that. Why? The alternative was bad. God's goodness leads us to the good. Now, I share that to give you an idea. There's something in your life that's at least like that. Something that you either have to choose to accept it and be limited, or break out of the limitation by saying, I'm going to accept what Jesus did for me. I might be a month of Sundays to convince you. I don't know. But my job is to try to convince you to believe what God says is true, and hopefully your job is to choose to be convinced. But I can't make that your job. Why? We all have different ideas of Heavenly Father by earthly fathers we've seen. If you could set all of that aside and realize your Heavenly Father is not like anybody you've seen before. He's so much better. Now, we can go from 30-fold to 60-fold to 100-fold. What does that mean? Things can get better and better and better if we keep walking with God and we keep hearing and hearing and hearing His Word. Now, I ask the Lord, He's been dealing with me to teach a series like this for some time. And I've asked Him how to do that, because it's something you don't hear a lot about today. I said, Lord, what would it, I was asking Him this Friday and a Thursday, but particularly Friday, Lord, what would you have me say to Living Word first? What would you have me bring first that will stir faith? What's the easiest part of your healing mercies for people to believe? He said that I will heal their children. I said, you are right about that. Of course he's right. But if you could decide whether you are going to get healed or your child, who would you pick? Yet we don't understand that's how our Heavenly Father thinks. I mean, what he was telling me as he said that is he looks at his kids the same way. He says, I'm taking care of them. I'm taking care of them. Why, Jesus laid down his life to take care of us that way. Now, it may take a little while to process that. But let me give you a couple examples. This is Matthew 15:22. The mercies of God extend to anybody that has faith. I told you about Marilyn Hickey and her meetings. A woman of Canaan, and Canaan was considered not a good place by the Jews. They called the Canaanites dogs, okay? They didn't even give them credit for being in the human race. This woman of Canaan cried to Jesus saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, my daughter. She's coming for her child. She's coming to Jesus for a child. She wasn't any more qualified. She wasn't a Jew. She wasn't a cleaned up Gentile. She was a dog. That sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? She had been rejected by religion. She had been rejected. Watch Jesus do it again, people that have been rejected by religion, be accepted by the Master. Why, he wants to show mercy to somebody that bad. He'll find somebody. O Lord, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Here we have a woman not qualified in any kind of religious rite, didn't have a prior knowledge of Jesus. She wasn't coming there all stirred with faith. Her faith was, I know he's done it before, he can do it again, and I'm coming for my kid. Why? This was a big mama ready to get something for her baby. Some of you have been there before, and you know, you go to the end of the earth for your own child, right? Now, this is a mother doing it. Why? Jesus said it would be easiest for you to understand if I start with children. So that's what we're doing. Now, anybody can reach out for mercy. Parents can petition for their children. Here's another example, Matthew 17:15. A man came to Jesus saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. It wasn't only for girl children. I found a boy child too. Okay, there's a number of children coming to Jesus. And Jesus said, don't forsake, don't keep the children from coming to me. He wanted the kids to come. And when the kids can't come, he wants the parent to come on their behalf. This is what I want you to see. You can have a child undeserving of the mercy of God in your eyes, but they're still deserving in God's eyes. And the fact that they're your kid is enough for you to ask for them. I like that. You can get stuff for your kids. Say, well, I don't have kids, but I have some that are almost like kids. He has faith for that. He'll do that. Now, Lord, have mercy on my son. He is a lunatic. These two kids were in trouble. All right. We'd say today that they were obsessed with the devil, or they were in an addicted lifestyle, or they were being driven by something. There's a lot of things today that people put up with are nothing more than the devil doing the same thing to kids that the devil was doing to kids in those days. Only back then they had to recognize that it couldn't be from God. It wasn't that they were bad people. It was that there is a bad devil trying to mess people up. Now, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for he often falls into the fire and into the water. And Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that hour. A mother came for mercy, a father came for mercy, and within the hour, don't know if it was instant or not, but it happened within an hour. Now, I could give examples, but I've run out of time. I'll give you personal examples another time with our own kids. Why, they're old enough, I can, they won't be embarrassed anymore. There's nothing to be embarrassed about any. The power of God comes into your life, nothing to be embarrassed about. This is Hebrews 13:8, says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to see the word today is there. He's the same today. He's the same today. Now, Jude 21 says that he is looking for one who is looking for his mercy. He is looking for a person to be looking for his mercy. God is looking to see if you are looking for his mercy. We have to be looking for his mercy. That's our part. I've learned that God likes me to talk to him about what I'm looking for. If he's a God of words, he made me to be a man of words. He likes to have words back and forth. He likes to have a conversation. Conversation brings about change, and it doesn't happen any faster than when you have a conversation with God. Within an hour, they both saw something happen. Now, I want to say one more verse, and we're going to shut things down. And we're going to just see what the Lord wants to do as we close this service. There's good food out there, but some of you may have a child that you want to stand in line for. I believe he'll have us to do that today. Increased hearing will condition our heart to receive. We sometimes have to hear more. I hope today at a minimum that you are at least hooked into wanting to hear more. If not, I need to pray for your eyes and ears to be open. That's what Jesus did here. But he said in 2 Chronicles, and this is Old Testament, and they had it harder in the Old Covenant than we have in the New. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9 talks about this Heavenly Father. He says, the eyes of the Lord run throughout the whole earth looking here and there to see who it is he can bless, to see who it is that he can be merciful toward. Now, Jude 21 told us who? The one that's asking for mercy. The one that's looking for. Literally, it says the one looking for mercy. If we will look to our Heavenly Father that way and say, I believe that he's the God of mercy, we're looking to him for mercy. That's how we do that. We say, I believe it. I'm putting my focus there. And it's better to do that early than when all the other options are spent. But you know what? He doesn't care if we don't believe him until he's the last option. I want to say that again. He does not care if we don't believe him until he's the last option and we've tried everything else. He just wants us to turn to him. Why? It says again, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. So I don't have a perfect heart. Here's the perfect heart, the heart that's looking toward him. I want you to understand that. That's his definition of a perfect heart, is we're looking for mercy from him. Jude 21, there's only one chapter in Jude. That's why I say Jude 21. It's verse 21. Jude 21 says he is wanting us to be looking for his mercy. Why? That's when he can change everything. Do you believe it this morning? Amen. See, sometimes at the end of the message, you get more quiet. I think you're going to fall asleep instead of respond. See, I knew this would be a little different thinking for you. But if we know who our Heavenly Father is, we can know what to expect from him. I got to where I was real good by about 5 years old to know what my earthly father expected from me. And I would learn that his disposition could vary by how worn out and tired he was, his hardworking guy. It was always better to talk to Dad after he'd had his supper and maybe his shower and then get to him before he fell asleep because he's tired, you know. But there's a little window of time there where everything was optimal. I want you to understand the Heavenly Father's love toward you. Whenever you're looking, he's optimal. That's why this morning, I want to, but before we close, we're going to let you go if you need to go. If you want to go eat, you go out there and start to eat. But if you want to receive ministry, especially along the lines of God's mercy toward a child or your children or even a child that you know, if today you choose to believe what I said is true about the mercy of God, then you're ready to receive. God's authority is spoken through his words, and his anointing, or how it gets over in our life, is through touch. This won't be the only time we pray along these lines. So I'm going to tell you this. If you're not convinced yet, don't come, because if you're not convinced, you'll not get anything from the Lord. He wants us to be convinced and then come to get it, instead of asking and then begging and pleading and waiting forever to get it. He wants us to be convinced we're going to get it when we come. He doesn't hold out two hands and say, pick one. Pick one. Go ahead and pick one. Nothing in it. He doesn't play that trick. You know what he does? He's always ready with what he's promised in both hands. Whenever we ask, stand to your feet as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. Heavenly Father, we believe that you are wonderful toward us and benevolent toward us. And if anything expresses your heart, you are a benevolent God just waiting to see what you can do next for anyone who will believe you and trust you. So Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name this morning, we choose to receive faith-building material, faith-building words into our lives. Father, it will grow to 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold return that we walk in your mercies. The same mercies that saved us are the same mercies that heal us, the same mercy that provides for our lives, the same mercy that gets us out of trouble, the same mercy that delivers us from the hand of the enemy. Heavenly Father, we know that you're loving and you're gentle and you're kind and you're merciful toward us. So we receive of your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.